Are you tired of lame, watered-down preaching, compromising standards, profit-driven faculty and board members embracing traditions and standards of the world, and committee decision-making? Would you rather be provoked into a red-hot zeal that no one will ever be able to take from you? Then you should definitely go to Bible College. You say, well, which one? Well, honestly, any of them will do the trick. But if you don't want to be persuaded into believing the King James Bible is the perfect, inerrant word of God like those fundies out there, you could be confident that at Bible College, you'll finally get a chance to be around people who are going to accept the fact that the cornucopia of English Bible translations all basically, kind of in a way, communicate what God mostly wanted to say. At Bible College, you won't have to be around men who dress and act like men or see ladies and girls dress in modest skirts and dresses, but rather, we allow the students to freely express themselves so as not to deter enrollment. In fact, any rules or standards here at Bible College that would cause a church or wealthy family to be offended will be modified promptly to address the obvious need for more modern inclusivity. Here at Bible College, we don't want any potential enrollment dollars, or excuse me, I should say students, to be turned away for something silly, like a verse from the Old Testament. It's called the Old Testament for a reason, folks. We don't want to be stuck with the old rules or the old standards. We need to be flexible and accept other ideas, religions, and streams of revenue, and that's exactly what you'll get here at Bible College. I should also mention the fact that Bible College has added even more class options and life skills for you to learn than ever before. Programs such as Accepting Worldly Music 203, Rebuke Not a Stack of Cash 101, Unclear Doctrines Part 2, Non-Denominational Churches Are Not a Denomination, and this one's my personal favorite, Don't Listen to the New IFB, Why the Pre-Tribulation Rapture Cannot Be Proven Wrong, amongst other options. Enroll now for the fall, winter, summer, or spring semesters for the very low price of $450,000 to get the education of a lifetime, to learn how to correct the Bible using the ancient languages that it was written in originally, and how to preach a sermon that won't offend a single solitary soul. So important. And remember, the fool hath said in his heart, who needs Bible College? Oh, that's only something a stupid person would say. Those who disagree with what I'm saying right now have the utterly contemptible mindset we at Bible College refer to as the Baptist bias.
Thanks again for joining us this evening. I feel like Ben's really pumped up. He's got a shirt on here, First Works Baptist Church. He's convincing me I need to go to Bible College and get that expensively, once-in-a-lifetime education. But actually, $450,000.
$450,000 is not much. I mean, inflation these days has made it to the point where that's nothing.
All right, Ben, say hello to everyone this evening.
How's it going, everyone? Excited to be on the show tonight. Talking about Bible College, really it's Bible College Exposed, and we're here with Pastor Bruce Mejia as our guest. Of course, it's March 14th, 2023, and my milk expired today, so I was kind of upset about that, but of course I can always go to the store and get a new one, but other than that, I'm doing great.
Well, don't cry over spilled milk. Let's bring on our guest, Pastor Bruce Mejia. Wow. Are you joined here with us?
I'm here. I'm ready to go to that Bible college that Brother Benjamin was talking about. I mean, I feel like you took that straight out of a Bible college brochure or something. That was perfect.
Online orientation. And I mean, it's a very affordable price of $450,000. And I think that, these people out there who want to trash Bible college, they just don't understand the education they're missing out on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, obviously, we're not nearly the expert you are. Neither me or Ben went to Bible college, but we know that you have some experience in this area. Why don't you give us a little rundown of kind of your experience with Bible College?
Yeah, well, as soon as I got saved, I enrolled into Bible College probably about a month after. And basically, essentially the reason why I went to Bible College is because the church that I went to told me that if I wanted to be in full-time Christian service, if I wanted to be a pastor, if I wanted to serve in the ministry full-time, the next step would be to go to Bible College. Because soon after, or right after I got saved, I had the desire to preach, and I was under really strong leadership and pastors who were preaching really hard. And so I wanted to do that. It created within me a desire to do that. And so I expressed that desire to my leaders, and they basically said, you got to go to Bible College. And so I enrolled, and I went, and I was there for about 5 years or so. And then after I graduated from Bible College, I was actually a teacher there for, I don't know, about 2 years. And then soon thereafter is when I, left that church or was let go from that church. But I was there for about 5 years. And honestly, I was really excited in the very beginning because I thought that everyone who was going to Bible College was there for the right reasons. And I essentially viewed everyone who was there as a person who was on fire for God. They loved the Bible. They loved winning souls to Christ. They wanted to get involved in full-time Christian service. But I was really naive because that wasn't the case. And I just remember being in those classes and learning about, different Bible stories and going through Old Testament survey, New Testament survey. And I was still reading through the Bible for the first time. And so a lot of these stories were very much new to me. And so I was kind of blown away by a lot of the things that I was hearing, just, the Old Testament stories and the different books and the different characters of the Old Testament. And I remember I would express that to my colleagues and just kind of, want to talk about those stories after class and just be like, wow, Jonah was actually swallowed by a whale, and I distinctly remember that particular story that I was really blown away at that because I never really heard about that. And they were just kind of like, yeah, I've already heard that story before. And yeah, whatever. And they were just kind of, lax about the Bible and indifferent towards the things of God. And after a couple months, I started realizing that everyone who was there wasn't really there for the right reasons. And so, that was basically my first year there. I started to realize that not everyone wanted to be a pastor or missionary or be involved in full-time Christian service. They were just kind of there because their mom sent them there, their dad sent them there. Or that was just a thing to do after high school is you just go to Bible College. But, I had a rude awakening when I went, for sure.
Now, of course, the whole episode is to kind of talk about some of the problems with Bible College, but I assume, there were some good things out of it. What are some of the things that you feel like from your experience that were pretty good about it?
Yeah, there is definitely a lot of bad stuff in college, in Bible College, but there's obviously a lot of good there as well. And I can't say that I didn't learn any Bible because I did. And, they taught me a lot of just the history of the Bible. They taught us how to be King James only, and they taught us about soul winning. They had us memorize scripture. And I think one of the most important things that we learned there was, social skills, just how to work with people, how to work hard, how to just kind of give yourself to the ministry. And so they taught me a lot of discipline. They gave me a lot of structure. And, that was one thing that I definitely appreciated going to Bible College. But, that's probably the only thing.
Yeah. Well, it seems like to me, I didn't go to Bible College specifically. I went to just a regular state university, West Texas A&M University. And it seemed like to me that you kind of got out of college what you put into it, that it's a little bit an ability for you to just do whatever you want. And, if you really want to learn a lot, there's no one holding you back. There's a lot of resources that are available to you. But at the same time, if you don't really want to learn anything, you're not forced to at all. And to me, I guess I almost would think that some of that's similar in Bible College in the sense that, some students are there reading their Bible a lot, studying, really paying attention to the curriculum, working hard on their assignments, and they could, going soul winning and different activities, working hard on preaching or whatever other extracurriculars exist. So you could get a lot out of Bible college, but it's kind of up to you a little bit. And Bible college is not necessarily going to force you to be like that. It's more kind of it's open. Is that kind of what your experience was?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was there, I took it very seriously, and I did not have the attitude towards Bible college that I obviously have now. And so when I was there, I worked really hard, and I really believed in that system because I thought that it was the right type of system for someone who wants to get involved in full-time Christian service and be a pastor and learn how to preach. And so I put my heart into it, and I studied hard. I read the Bible a lot, and I learned the doctrine. I did my best to pass my exams and to stay accountable and go soul winning and just do all that. But again, just in my first year there, I realized that not everyone shared that same disposition. Not to say that there's people in Bible college who didn't have that same attitude, but there are others who definitely didn't. The majority, I would say, of students who went to the college that I went to did not share that same attitude. And they were just kind of there just to, you know, please their parents. And, you know, they're there to kind of do their year or their 2 years so they can go out and just get a regular secular job, which is nothing wrong with that. But just kind of get a secular job and just move on and just please their parents. And so they weren't really in it for the right reasons, I guess you could say. And the people who graduated from Bible college, who are still serving in the ministry, in my opinion, survived Bible college, or they came out and were successful in the ministry in spite of Bible college because they went into it with the right disposition and the right goals. And so I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, that makes sense. And kind of what I'm saying, you know, for me, it seems like the resources to learn and grow spiritually are not insulated in Bible college in so much that you couldn't have the same growth or positive learning experiences outside of Bible college, that the people that do well are the ones that are putting all the extra effort in anyways, and they could do the same thing apart from Bible college. And really where kind of from my angle or what my perspective is that Bible college is only going to kind of distract from those things or possibly even put a wet blanket, kind of similar to what you've been saying here. When you notice other people not really putting the same effort in, not really caring, not sharing your same interest, it could kind of be a deterrent or try to limit your zeal. It makes me think of how two tribes of the children of Israel don't really want to enter in the promised land. And Joshua is really upset with them because he's saying you're going to discourage your brethren. And so when you don't see everybody coming alongside, fighting, having the same zeal, it can actually discourage the brethren, cause them to not want to study as hard, not take things as serious. And obviously iron sharpens iron. So when you're around other people that maybe do something better than you, it could cause you to do even more or work harder. It can provoke you to try harder than you did before. I know in sports, you know, if you play with people that are worse than you, you never really get much better. But if you play against people that are a lot better than you, it actually challenges you to grow, learn how to have more skill, different skill. And I know that going to Faithful Word and being around people like Pastor Stephen Anderson and other brethren who are trying to memorize whole sections of the Bible, going soul winning all the time, that always challenged me to do more, learn more, and to grow more. And I don't know that I would have had the same feeling if I go to an institution, like you said, Bible college, where the staff or even a lot of the students aren't that interested, don't care as much, are taking it easy, quote unquote.
Just thinking about the fact that, you know, going back to that same point, I was really bothered by that. And it kind of made me disillusioned for a little bit because of the fact that I felt as though the students that were there, you know, they had a lot of privileges in the sense of, you know, they grew up in church, their parents are in church. They are very much involved. They've been there for decades at the church, and they don't want to be there. And I'm just, you know, my parents weren't in church at the time, and I was basically the only one there. I'm paying my own school bill. I'm getting myself to Bible college. I'm making sure that I'm kind of holding myself responsible and accountable for my responsibilities in Bible college. And it seemed as though, like, if it wasn't for their parents or some other authority that they had, you know, they would be out of there. Whereas me, I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't really have anybody provoking me to be here or to go to college. You know, I'm kind of just motivating myself and trying to be a self-starter to be here. So it really bothered me when they were really when I saw apathy in the Bible college, because it's like, I'm actually here for the right reasons, and these students don't seem to even care about the things of God. And, you know, obviously there were people who did provoke me to righteousness and to be zealous for the things of God, but there are very far few and in between. The majority would mock people like us. And if you even brought up a conversation about the Bible, it would, you know, be looked down upon. If you expressed any desire to just kind of go above and beyond in soul winning or learning the Bible or memorizing scripture, you were kind of seen as just kind of like a weird person in the Bible college. You know, God forbid that you would want to, you know, do a little more soul winning or read the Bible more in a Bible college. And so, you know, the major theme of Bible college, or should I say the narrative that people would push, the leaders would push, was that the Bible college students were the cream of the crop. But then I would hear that from the pulpit, but then when I see the students, I'm like, you know, I'm not sure. I think there's actually church members that are more on fire and zealous than the actual Bible college students. You know, men who are married, who have children, who are serving God, and they love winning souls to Christ. I kind of had more an affinity with them than I did with a lot of the students in the college. And so, you know, that was definitely a wake-up call for me.
Well, you know, interesting, back before I even became King James Only and I was still going to non-denom church, I actually applied for a seminary because same thing. I was told and kind of looked up online and stuff. It seemed like you have to go to Bible college if you want to go into the ministry, if you want to be on staff at a church or any of these type of things. And so I enrolled or applied for Denver Seminary. And, you know, they're not King James Only. And at the time, I don't know, I think I was slowly learning about that. They did seem to, at least on their doctrinal statement, say salvation was by faith alone. And they had a lot of just kind of the cores, that's doctrines that seemed to be right. But I remember hearing preaching from Pastor Stephen Anderson about how you shouldn't go to Bible college, it's a waste of time, and you should just train at the local church. And a lot of that kind of resonated with me to where I totally changed and I decided not to pursue seminary. And I was then trying to be trained in a local church. And I ended up joining an old IFB church that the pastor, I approached him about training me to be a pastor. And he definitely said, well, you should go to Bible college. And I said, yeah, I don't know that I want to do that. I would rather train locally. And he was willing to do it, but he didn't really have a program and he never really started anything. And so that's why I ended up just moving to Faithful Word and training with Pastor Anderson there. But, you know, it's kind of a similar, at least, approach from a lot of people where they just really push Bible college on you. And I know, Brother Ben, you went to an old IFB church. Was there ever any pressure to go to Bible college, or is that something you ever thought of doing?
Yeah, I definitely did think about doing it, and there was the pressure because they would bring in Bible colleges regularly to basically advertise themselves to the church. And at the time, when I first got saved, I was going to a secular college, and back when I was 23. And the thing is, I did think, wow, it would be so great to go to a college that's, you know, revolved, or at least supposedly revolves around scripture, where you can learn about the Bible, where you can, some of the things Pastor Mahew was talking about, memorize scripture, learn more about Bible stories, etc. So it seemed appealing to me at the time. And it wasn't until I heard some of the preaching that comes from our friends from the new IFB, and also some of the testimonies I've heard from people who went to Bible college, that I realized I actually didn't miss out on anything, although I felt like I did for a while. I felt like I've been missing out. I felt like I would have liked to go do it. But then I quickly realized, after hearing the testimonies of those who went, I didn't miss out on anything.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a lot of people share the same experience. I know that we have a lot of people in our live stream, and we're going to take calls tonight if we have anybody that wants to share a Bible college story or example. So if you have like something really crazy that you heard, a doctrine or an experience you had, we'd like to hear from you. You can call 231 Baptist. We'll try to bring you on the show for a minute and just get you to share that one experience, and we can talk about it.
I wanted to share one quick thing.
Go ahead.
Pastor Shelley Pastor Mejia, you guys have midweek Bible studies where you go through a chapter of the Bible expository style, and you do it in great detail. One thing I heard from a friend of mine who went to an old IFB church is in discussion with his pastor about his preaching style. The pastor confided in him and said, well, you know what? I hold things back from a doctrinal perspective and don't necessarily feel like it's appropriate to preach the meat of the word. Because if people want to attain that, they can go to Bible college. They can go to Bible college and get the meat of the word there. What a shame. And that's really, I wanted to get your guys' reaction to that. I mean, as pastors who do regularly preach the meat of the word to your congregations, isn't it a shame that some pastors feel the need to hold back in that area because they feel like if people want to get that, they have to pay for it and get shipped off to Bible college? What's your reaction?
Yeah, I definitely have heard that multiple times. And that was just a common, thing back at our old church with our old Bible college. And that was that if you wanted to get into systematic doctrine, that you would have to go to a Bible college to get that. And, you know, they want to keep things on the bottom shelf for the congregation. But if they want to go a little deeper than that, you're going to have to pay to learn deep doctrine. And I didn't really understand why at the beginning. You know, there's a lot of things that I feel like I didn't question initially because we just kind of all went with that. And it was just what I learned, what I thought, what I was taught. And so, but later on, obviously, when I heard some preaching, especially from Pastor Anderson, I did begin to question those things. And I remember thinking a lot of that, like, why is it that we hold back on systematic doctrine? And the funny thing is, you had mentioned, Brother Ben, that you're at a church where people would come and advertise the Bible college. I was actually one of those people, believe it or not. I was on a tour group, and I was actually a college recruiter. That was like one of my jobs when I was working at the college there. And my job was to get recruitments for Bible college. And in fact, one of my church members, who's my song leader, Brother Marco Sanchez, I actually recruited him to Bible college. So he left his church and city, and he ended up moving to Long Beach. You know, he became a part of the Bible college, and he ended up going to college there until he was kicked out for coming to visit our church when we started, when we were a Faith Forward Baptist church. But we used to recruit people all the time. And I remember going to a particular church where we were recruiting students, and I remember the pastor preaching, and he was going verse by verse on 1st and 2nd Timothy. I think he was in 1st Timothy at the time. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I've never heard anything like this. I thought this is something you only do in Bible college. And, you know, his was like an unorthodox kind of way of doing it, because he was going verse by verse, and he was kind of like asking for answers. And so the congregation would like answer out. So obviously, you know, that we didn't agree with that. But, you know, unfortunately, or should I say fortunately, a lot of the church members knew the answers to what he was asking regarding systematic doctrine, which shows that he was teaching his people, you know, and they were actually taking it in. And I remember coming back feeling a little discontent, thinking to myself, you know, why don't we do this at our church? And then it was one of those reminders, well, that's what you get in Bible college. And so, and I even remember a church member coming up to me and saying, like, hey, you know, I have a full-time job, I have a family, I don't think it's fair that, you know, why do we have to pay to go learn the book of Hebrews in Bible college? You know, why can't we get it in church? And I honestly didn't even have an answer for him, because I never really thought about that. But it's true. I mean, in my opinion, obviously it's wrong. It's wrong to charge to teach the Bible, period, to learn the Bible, let alone, you know, just kind of hold back and keep key doctrines or systematic teachings from the church, because that's reserved for the cream of the crop, which ends up being a group of people who don't even want to learn it to begin with. So,
well, I don't have any experience as far as actually being in a church where there's this big discrepancy from what's being taught in the Bible college or at church, but you're just trying to think about it biblically. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about how he held back nothing. And in fact, pretty much every epistle kind of says, like, to be read in the church. Like, it doesn't say just for the Bible college students enrolled at the church. It's like to be read in front of the men, women, and children. So to me, it almost seems unbiblical if you're not going to every single one of these passages and every single one of these instructions. To me, the Bible's really clear that we should be teaching everybody the whole counsel of God and that we shouldn't be holding anything back. So it really just, to me, is almost in the face of Scripture that people would even do such a thing. And, you know, to me, though, my viewpoint is that Bible college is more about money. And if you don't have this gimmick of, well, you're only going to get this lesson if you come to Bible college, then, you know, that might actually entice someone to pay. Whereas if you say you're going to get all the same instruction, all the same information, then it kind of is like, well, why do I go? And it's like, exactly. Why would you go? I didn't go to a Bible college, but I went to just a regular university. I got a management degree. And I remember I wanted to change careers at one point and get a software degree. And I talked to somebody that was in the software industry and he said, oh, don't go to college. It's a waste of your time. They won't even teach you how to be a developer. You're going to use archaic and outdated programming languages. They're not going to really teach you very much. You could just learn on the job and get really far ahead. And I never got a software degree. I don't have really any training formally as far as software, but I've had a job for several years. I've had really high positions. I've been a senior developer. And, you know, never has it even been a question of whether or not I had a degree or if it mattered. They don't even care. But it does seem like in our world, and, you know, I'm not you, Pastor Mejia, so I don't have a Bible college degree. But a lot of people ask me, like, well, where'd you go to college? Or where'd you get a seminary degree? And, you know, I just say, like, I just trained at a local church. And I think a lot of people look down on me for being like that. But I would venture to believe that most of my church knows the Bible better than a lot of these Bible college students. So it's kind of, what does it matter? Do I need letters of commendation? Or, you know, what did I really miss out on? I don't know. But
yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, the Bible says that, you know, apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists are given to us for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So what Ephesians 4 is basically telling us is that if we want to mature in the Lord and in our knowledge of the Bible so that we're not spiritually children anymore and become spiritually mature in our understanding of Scripture, we need to be in church. And if we need to be in church, that the implication there is that there is a leader there who's preaching the Word of God, who's maturing us through the Bible and through preaching, through the deep things of God. And so, you know, there's no mention of a college, Bible college, in the Scriptures when in reference to teaching God's people or helping them to mature, being an extension of the ministry, as many people put it, when it comes to Bible college. You know, it says that we're to learn these things in church. And so, and you're right. I mean, I think of my church members, many of them can run circles around many of the Bible college students. I mean, I remember being in college and my first year and kind of going around, I don't know what it was. Something sparked my curiosity. And I started going up to different students, just asking them, like, why are you a Baptist? Or why are you a fundamental Baptist? Do you know? And I wasn't doing it in a, just to kind of like, you know, put them on the spot. I wasn't trying to troll them. I genuinely wanted to know why they thought that they were a Baptist. And I think it was also because I was trying to figure out why I was a Baptist. And so probably one out of the 15 students that I asked that question to probably gave me a solid answer. The other ones couldn't. And the other ones kind of brush me off, or they just kind of like, you know, why are you asking that? That's not important. You're asking a stupid question or whatever. And so, but when I would ask some of the church members, they actually knew. Some of the men in the church actually knew why they were fundamental Baptists. And so it's crazy to see that contrast there between those who are supposed to be learning the deep things of God through Bible college and those who are using the God-given institution, which is the church, to learn it.
Yeah. And you know, even the church I went to, it seemed like the people didn't even know why they were King James only, whereas some people in the church were, and they knew why. But it's like that should be taught to the whole church. Why would you want your church to not be solid on doctrine? Because that's all reason I believe people should be going to our church, is because they're choosing it. not just because their parents drug them there or tradition or it's 5 minutes from their house, but you want people to choose your church. And, you know, that's one thing I love about the church that I get to pastor is that it's very clear the people coming to my church are choosing to come to my church. It's not just out of convenience or close to their house or anything like that. It's rather because they know what they believe and they want to find a church that aligns with what the Bible says. And of course, that should be the main motivating factor. And I think that because we have the truth on our side, we shouldn't be afraid of teaching everybody all the truth, because that's what's going to keep them grounded in the faith. That's going to keep them steadfast and doing the first works. You know, I mean, you need a lot of that doctrine to be motivated to do the right things. But of course, you know, I've heard and there's even way worse Bible colleges out there than the one you went to. I mean, the one you went to is probably great in comparison to 99% of Bible colleges. But even where you were going, was there any kind of doctrines or heresies or anything that you were like, whoa, that's not in the Bible? Was there something that kind of threw you off while you were in the school?
Well, our college, like most colleges, are dispensational. They do adhere to, you know, a dispensational view, not hyper dispensational, but very much dispensational in the sense that they're pre-trib. They believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. So things of that nature. But as far as discrepancies in regards to salvation, I never heard anything. They're very much King James only. And even the church that I went to was King James only. And there were a lot of right doctrines at the college. And honestly, I accredit that to the fact that the college was very much tied into and overseen by the pastor. So it's not like the college was like off campus somewhere else run by another leader. Like the pastor of the church oversaw the college. He was very much involved. He taught there, he preached there. And so he kind of kept a short leash on the college there. And I remember one particular time, a pastor was invited, or evangelist or something. You may have heard of him. I don't know. I'm not sure if you have, but his name is, they call him Bible Doug. And
no, I haven't.
He came and he put himself forth as like King James only. And he was really big in old IFB type churches, or at least he was making a big splash at that time. And he's King James only. So obviously he came under the guise of being King James only. So we liked them and we thought, you know, have them come and teach, you know, a couple hours of just the Bible or just different things. But then he started mentioning some things, you know, he was teaching through the Gospels and he started implying that people were saved differently in different dispensations. And I remember my reaction was like, whoa. And my pastor never really he never got up and preached against dispensationalism or hyper-dispensationalism, but he did teach the right way of salvation. And the fact that it was always the same. So by default, I knew that whatever this guy was saying was just wrong. And I remember, like, I raised my hand and I'm like, are you saying that people were saved differently throughout the ages? Because we believed in ages at that time, obviously, because we were pre-trib. And he's just like, well, I'm just saying I believe the Bible. And I'm thinking to myself, well, then you're implying that, you know, you do believe that. So I was kind of floored when he said that. And I had a good relationship with my pastor, and he always kind of kept the office door open for me if I wanted to talk to him. And I went to go talk to him and I said, hey, this guy's saying that you can be saved differently throughout different ages, and I don't know if that's biblical. I don't think that's biblical. That doesn't sound right. He's saying people were saved by the sacrifices in the Old Testament. And then my pastor was like, whoa, this is the last time he's ever going to come, you know. And he's like, that's called hyper-dispensationalism. And he said, we're dispensationalists, but we're not hyper-dispensationalism, because hyper-dispensationalists have they teach a false doctrine that people were saved differently. And so I really – my respect for my pastor grew even more because of it, because he just said he's never coming back. We're not going to sell his books. You know, they had a bookstore, and he's like, we're not going to sell his books. He's never coming back. And he even canceled a future engagement with another pastor because he ended up finding out that that guy was a hyper-dispensationalist as well. So as far as those type of discrepancies, you know, we didn't have anything that crazy during my pastor's time there. But when he got sick and he was no longer the pastor there, there were different individuals that came and were teaching false doctrine. And they particularly, I remember in one instance, I was just going over this with one of my church members earlier this week, that they had a missionary who was a missionary in Africa for like 30, 40 years or something. And he was like 130 years old or something like that, you know, some crazy age. But this guy was not King James only. He was major Zionist, and he taught some really weird doctrines. And I remember that they hired him to teach a class on missions, but the entire class ended up being a class on Zionism. So he never even went through what he did on the mission field or the work that he did. He spent the majority of the time talking about why the Jews were God's chosen people and why replacement theology is wrong. And so, you know, a lot of that started coming in, and I remember some of the students just kind of being like, this is kind of weird, you know,
Did
maybe
he
it's
even
kind of
go
like a
to
free for
Israel?
all. I mean, probably not. I don't
I
know.
mean, if
I
you're a
don't know.
missionary to Israel, maybe that makes sense. I don't even know.
He was big on it though, like, and one thing that kind of freaked me out was the fact that he said he was using the King James, and he was like, but I prefer, and he said some other version, and I was like,
Oh, man.
what? You know what I mean? Like, and I couldn't believe the words that were coming out of his mouth. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this is not good. Why are we having this guy teach here if he doesn't even believe in the King James Bible?
Right.
But things like that were tolerated, unfortunately. And they were permitted, they were tolerated, they weren't corrected. And little by little, you can see, you know, that the college was going south doctrinally later on because of the fact that when you tolerate things like that, they're not corrected. Then it just gives way for more false doctrine. And then we had students who were coming from different churches who were not King James only. You know, they were using a new King James. And I remember one particular instance where the teacher was having the students read a passage. He was teaching, I don't know, a particular passage, and he was reading out of that passage. He called on this particular student, and it just sounded weird. You know, it was just like, and the teacher stopped him and was just like, all right, we're moving on to someone else. And he kind of picked someone else. And it was just like, the guy's reading out of a New King James Bible. Can we talk to him about this?
Yeah.
And he was permitted to stay for a while. And you know, eventually they talked to him and he ended up getting a King James, but you know, it wasn't by conviction. It's because he
Right.
was at the Bible college where they re required a King James Bible. And so I saw a lot of that stuff. And when I was there, that wasn't really a common thing, but later on, definitely, you know, people, the college, I would say, began to take a soft stance on King James onlyism, soul winning, things of that nature.
That's a shame. And you had mentioned earlier about one of your church members who kind of got thrown out of the college, I guess for attending your church. So, do you have? I feel like you and I've talked about this in the past, but you've had some experiences where Bible colleges are kind of disavowing the quote "New IFB" or Pastor Bruce Mejia is so scary. You don't want to rub shoulders with this guy. What kind of experiences have you had where Bible colleges are basically just swearing off the new IFB, saying have nothing to do with them, or we'll kick you out, or you know, what can you share on that?
Well, before I say anything about that, let me just say is that there's a lot of Bible college students that actually like the new IFB. And there's actually, and I'm just not talking about my old college, but there's other colleges where they have new IFB listeners. And so, and I would say it's probably the students that are there for the right reasons, in the sense of they want to learn the Bible, they want to get involved in full-time Christian service, and they love the truth. And you know, we're in the age of the internet where, you know, YouTube and all these things, and so they hear about something and then they tune into the preaching. And I've had many students who go to Bible college tell me that they listen to my sermons, even though they're in North Valley Baptist or North or Golden State Baptist College, West Coast Baptist College, you know, that there's people there that listen to the new IFB. And so, but it's obviously not the students that are against this, the leaders. The leaders don't like the students to be exposed to this type of preaching. Because it messes with their money, you know, you know, because then they could potentially get out. They might hear a sermon on, you know, how Bible college is worthless, and they might leave Bible college and actually get into a leather lung, you know, Bible believing King James only soul winning church, and get training there. But as of recently, I haven't really heard much as far as, you know, colleges speaking out against the new IFB. When I was a Bible college teacher, I heard a lot of it. And, you know, mainly it was obviously against Pastor Anderson. And, you know, there's meetings at the college where the leader would get up and say, this is not a Stephen Anderson church. This is not a new IFB college. This is not a Stephen Anderson college. We do not believe the same. And so stop spreading that nonsense. And, you know, they would just rip on the new IFB in that way. And, you know, they obviously felt threatened by Pastor Anderson. They felt threatened by the new IFB. And I think it's because of the fact that young people were gravitating towards new IFB preaching. And so they feared that they would become radicalized or something and start believing the Jews are not God's chosen people and, you know, start hating sodomites and, you know, just become these overly zealous type Christians and end up stirring the pot at the college. And so, you know, that was really big when I was there. And I just remember multiple meetings and staff meetings where they would go over that and just kind of just do a lot of damage control where they're just like, don't listen to them. You can't listen to this preaching. You can't do this. You don't go. And, you know, obviously, and that's one of the reasons that I was let go is because of that. And so the guy who got kicked out of my the college there, you know, he came to Faithful Word Baptist Church, Los Angeles, when Pastor Anderson was preaching. He wanted to come here and preach, and he came, and he posted on his Instagram a picture of Pastor Anderson. And soon thereafter, they're like, "You got to go." So they booted him out. And I don't remember what it was. I don't know if it was like a Sunday night or a Thursday night. I was like preaching and he just comes walking into the church. And, you know, later on we're like, "Hey, what's going on?" And he's just like, "I got kicked out." You know, he's just, they kicked me out for coming to this church. And so, you know, we all high fived him and congratulated him.
And that's probably the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he ended up being here and he's married. He has a son. He has a family. He's involved here. I mean,
I'm sure he's learned a lot more. He can enjoy the Bible more. I mean, I can see why they're threatened. I mean, if I lived in LA and I had a Bible college, I would be afraid of anybody learning about Pastor Mejia because you go learn way more from him. Way cooler church. I mean, they got the merch too. I mean, you know, that's the one thing about college. They have the merch, but Pastor Mejia has cooler merch. So, you know, you got to go to First Works Baptist Church if you're anywhere near L.A. Ben, did you have anybody demonize the new IFB to you while you're going to church or interested in Bible college or anything? Do you have any experience like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Even in Jacksonville, Florida, at an old IFB church pastored by somebody who now, by the way, has decided to advance and progress away from the King James Bible. It's no longer King James only. That's a whole different topic.
Oh, wait, okay. I thought you were talking about Adam Fannin. like,
oh. No, he's a loser.
Yeah, that's a totally different story there,
correct,
too.
He should go to Bible college.
Yeah, I agree with that. But no, they were, I mean, I had people come up to me and just be like, "Hey, have you heard of this preacher from Arizona? He's a really extreme guy, and he says that sodomites should receive capital punishment, and he's super extreme. I think his name is like Anderson something." So people would come up to me with that kind of rhetoric. And I witnessed church leadership just attack Pastor Anderson mercilessly. "Oh, if this guy were in our church, we'd kick him out. And I hate him. He's a complete just loser." They would attack him, like I said, showing no mercy whatsoever. And here's the thing. As a naive baby Christian, I'm walking in here and I'm thinking, "Oh, this is an independent, fundamental Baptist church. I bet they're all like Faithful Word. They're all friends. They all like Pastor Anderson." So I walk in, and a few weeks later, when I found out how much they hated him, my stomach kind of sunk because I was like, "Oh, man, that's such a bummer." Because I liked other aspects of the church. But, yeah, the leadership and other church members would confide in me, quote unquote, that Pastor Anderson was a really horrible guy. And so they were, of course, very upset with me when I left to go to Steadfast.
Well, you know, when we look at Bible college as a whole, you know, there's definitely kind of a King James only independent fundamental Baptist realm where there's some Bible colleges and things like that. But as a whole, most of them are not King James only. Most of them are not Baptist even necessarily. A lot of crazy things are going on in these places. And you would think that those would be the most liberal, but even amongst independent fundamental Baptists, it seems like they're going crazy too. And I want to play a clip of John Getch, and it's something that I had made a long time ago, but he's, I believe, the president of West Coast Baptist College. And that church there is Lancaster Baptist Church, pastored by Paul Chappell. And John Getch, you can go on YouTube right now and find the sermon on their YouTube channel that we're going to play a clip from. So it's not like this guy has recanted or changed his opinion, but the guy has just become crazy. I mean, not even just like liberal, like extreme. And I don't understand exactly the motivation here. I think that some of these individuals are just feeling the pressure to increase enrollment or to appease certain people. And so maybe they just, money is just too big of a factor and they just kind of accept some liberal stuff. But I also wonder if some of these people are just wicked. Some of them are just super evil. You know, from your perspective, Pastor Mejia, I know that you're pretty close over there to Lancaster Baptist Church. Do you think these guys are just coming from like, they're just like a wicked element? Or do you think it's just a lot of pressure to kind of maintain the status quo and keep enrollment up and just kind of get the money flowing?
I think it's both. We would go to Lancaster Baptist Church every year for their fine arts competition. And we met a lot of their leaders and kind of fellowship with their students. And I feel like I met both types, where there's just really these watered down, soft soap type of Christians who were believers, but they just kind of took a soft stance on a lot of the controversial issues of the day. But then you'd have these other individuals where it's just like, I don't know about this person, these red flags. They teach a repent of your sins type gospel. They don't seem very sincere. They seem like they're really bad people. You get the false prophet vibe from them. And, you know, when you have a church that big and a college that big, a lot of infiltrators can easily make their way within that institution, you know, because of the fact that the leaders who are saved and the leaders who, you know, they believe the Bible, they're still taking a soft stance. And so they often tolerate it and allow that stuff into the church, and they won't fight against it. And so in my experience, when it comes to these colleges like Golden State and West Coast Baptist Colleges, you have a mixture of both. And unfortunately, the saved are often the ones who defend the wicked ones, as seen with Mike Zachary, for example. And so,
yeah. Well, we're about to switch over to a Rumble-only stream. And so I just wanted to prepare you guys. We're going to play a clip here. And unfortunately, it's got a little bit of YouTube censorship. But once we get off of YouTube, we'll be able to say whatever we want. And as the topic will get a little bit spicier, it's probably very much needed. But I want to play this quick clip, and we'll talk about it for a second, but we're going to be switching over to Rumble. I'll put the link in the description as well, but let's go ahead and play the clip.
Every human being, regardless of their ethnic background, their education, their financial status, their religious beliefs, and sexual orientation, deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. Let me say it again. Ugh. Every person on this planet, regardless of their sexual orientation, deserves respect and dignity.
And it has this guy, John Getch, okay, independent fundamental Baptist, and here's what he said. He said, every person on this earth deserves respect and dignity regardless of their sexual orientation. This is in a Baptist church, in the house of God. How can someone just not be afraid that God is not just going to strike them with a thunderbolt? How can anyone be that bold? I mean, do you not even believe God exists, John Getch? How in the hell? hell can you stand up behind your pulpit as a man of God and not think God's going to strike you dead to stand up and talk about people's sexual orientation? You
You're wicked. How can you get behind the sacred desk? Have some respect for the house of God, for God's word, for God's pulpit. This book doesn't talk about a sexual orientation. It talks about sodomites, filthy dogs, vile, brute, beast, damnation, and hell. What are you talking about? Well, how dare you call him a but you know what? Because you know what? If he's not a then why is he so soft and interested in defending?
Yeah. Well, that was a clip that I made awesome. A little while ago, and we kind of lost our YouTube channel anyways, but... yeah, we're going to be going to Rumble here just in a few minutes so we can talk about this a little bit more in detail. But isn't that just insane, Pastor Mejia, to see I mean, this isn't like a liberal university. This is a fundamental Baptist university or Bible college president and at a fundamental Baptist church preaching this kind of stuff. I mean, I know you're aware of this clip, but I mean, what in the world?
Yeah, I mean, the guy is a complete false prophet. The guy is a complete fag-loving idiot because of the fact that, you know, any Baptist preacher, evangelist who gets up and says something like that, obviously, you know, Pastor Anderson was saying, how can you be so bold? It's because of the fact that the guy's not even saved. The guy obviously sincerely feels this way about sodomites. And so, you know, I just don't know that, like, a saved person can just get up and say something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And obviously, John Getz is not saved because he teaches a repent of your sins gospel. But, you know, that definitely is the icing on the cake when it comes to that. You can see that the guy is obviously, he obviously disregards the Bible, does not respect, he respects people more than he respects the word of God. He respects people's sexual orientation more than he respects Leviticus 20:13. And so the guy's a complete joke, and I hope he dies soon.
Well,
tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, we need to play the uncensored clip. So you guys have less than 60 seconds. We got like 90 people watching on YouTube. You're going to have to make an exodus if you want to follow the show. And I think you can catch it on Facebook as well. But Rumble out there, God Resource, you should be able to check the show. We're going to be moving over there. And also, you can call 231-BAPTIST if you have a testimony about a weird experience or something you heard in Bible college. We'd be willing to bring you on the show to hear that. But we're gonna drop off here, and we're gonna let YouTube go to hell. We did a diagnosis, and we realized they have AIDS, and unfortunately, there's just no going back. It's an incurable disease, and so we're just gonna basically have to say bye to YouTube. You know what? YouTube just.